with a word of prayer. Our Father, in the name of Christ, we pray that you will guide us as we study how to get into your word through memory work and reviewing and keeping current. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask you, why did you come to this particular session? So who would like to be first? Why are you here? Phil?
I need a boost.
You need a boost?
Motivation.
Curry, why are you here?
I need to get going.
You had to go someplace?
Same reason.
Motivation. I hate to be redundant, but I got the same excuse.
Okay. Who came that didn't need a boost? Who came for some other reason? Yes?
I came for a boost too, but more importantly, I'd like to be able to help some other people start from my...
Like other people. Eric?
Well, I came for the same reason, but back finally put, anybody's been taught by Dawson Turtman, where I spiritually want to see what is Dawson Turtman.
So you came out of curiosity, right? Okay. What about some of your kids in the back? Why did you come? Learn to encourage others. Where'd you come?
Memorizing the scripture has always been easy for me. It's the review work and the discipline of staying on it. This is what reminding area witnesses.
Why'd you come?
I need to be encouraged.
Encouraged. Is it Gary? You didn't think I could see that far, did you? I can't hear that far, but I can see that far.
I've always had a desire to memorize scripture, but I've always struggled with it. I've had people try to encourage me and teach me how, and I'm accountable to a gentleman for scripture memorization, so I want to get it down pat so I can be accountable to God as well as the person that I'm
studying. Lana, why are you here?
The only reason why I ever memorized scripture was for a grade in high school.
Oh, I see. Did you make it at all? Did you get the grade?
I like memorized it 2 days before, just so I could write it down.
And now then what?
Now I want to really learn the word.
Okay. Eric, you came because you were assigned, didn't you?
That's right. I also came, I used boost also, and yeah. I'm starting a memory class at church and thought I could use the insight.
Very good. Now you could teach this class. Why did you come?
I'm bogged down.
You're bogged down. Well, bless you. Bless you. High centered. All right. Let's look at your notes a little bit. What is the... you remember the first commandment in the Bible? Remember the first commandment? Anybody ever been to Sunday school? No, one person been to Sunday school. First commandment in the Bible. You've been to church. All of you have been to church sometime. First commandment in the Bible.
Love the Lord your God by your heart, by your soul, by your strength.
Right. Very good. I'm going to let you go to the head of the class, yeah? That's in Deuteronomy 6:5. The rest of that commandment is, these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart. That's part of the first commandment. It tied right onto it. Loving your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and body, and then these words which I command you should be in your heart. Deuteronomy 11:18-19. Therefore you shall lay up these, my words, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontless between your eyes. You shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. That's pretty much all the time, isn't it? These are some scripture memory commanded. The only way you can teach to your children would be you'd have to have it available, because you could hardly have a copy of the Bible, you know. You couldn't have a copy of the Bible. Let's see now, kid. Hey, where'd the kid go? Where'd he get? You know, you'd have to have it on your heart. You have to be able to quote it without looking at it, you know. these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Therefore you shall lay up these my words in your heart and your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that may be as frontlets between your eyes. They had a, you know, one of these caps kind of a deal, you know, like the baseball players, you know, the baseball cap. You flick it down and there was the scriptures that they would look at. When they lie down, when they rise up. Proverbs 7, 1 to 3. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Bind them upon thy finger, write them upon the table of thine heart. How would you translate writing on your heart? Here? Carrie? What does that mean? Writing them on your heart. What does that mean? You know, your doctor can't open up, you know, and take a pencil and write on your heart, you know. What does that mean?
I guess it'd be on there so that whenever you thought about something, that's what you think about.
That's right, but what do we usually call the word? Glenn? Memorize. That's right, you call it memorize. You don't say it out loud. Okay, thoughts untangle themselves and passing over the lips and over the fingertips. I really don't know if you're getting it until you write me a letter or until you say it, and I don't want to read your letter. So say it out. When I ask you a question, say the obvious. That's where you learn. Say the obvious. Okay, what is, class, what is translated in modern terminology, what is writing God's word on the table of your heart? What's it called?
Memorize.
Say it again. What is writing God's word on your heart? What's it called?
Memorize.
Very good. The reason I do that, that's taught, by the way, Doctor, in Isaiah. Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So that's the reason I teach, line upon line, precept upon precept. Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. Proverbs 6, 20 to 23. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. Isn't that beautiful? When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For commandment is the lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. What's the way of life? Phil Ernest, what's the way of life?
Following Christ.
Almost. What's the way of life? A little louder.
Reproofs
of instruction is the way of life. What's the way of life, class?
Reproofs of instruction.
Right. What's the way of life?
Reproofs of instruction.
So you see, if we listen to modern terminology and modern philosophy, I'm going to do my thing, boy. You know, you're not going
to
make it.
You're going to have to be reproved. Hold on.
Hey, how about that? Am I communicating? What do you have to do, Glenn, in order to grow? No, I mean, well, I just said it. I just said it. What do you have to do to the what's the way of life? Reproofs of instruction. Okay, what are you going to have to do to get on with the Lord, to grow? What are you going to have to do? Say it again. Reproofs of instruction. You're going to have to be reproved. You're going to have the figuratively whipped to the back. That's right. Life is like that. Life is like that. Read it. Verse in the Proverbs says, a man's belly drives him on. It doesn't mean anything now, because if a man gets hungry, he goes to welfare. But when that was written, what does that mean in the time in which it was written? A man's belly drives him on. Eric, what does that mean?
No work, no eat.
No work, no eat. Right. Very good. Now then, that wouldn't work. You know, it wouldn't, because you can always get food at a handout. But in those days, a man's belly, he'd do what the boss said because he was hungry. He would take whatever the master said because he had to have food, because he was very, very hungry. And it would drive him on, see? Well, this is the way we have to be in regard to memorizing Scripture. We have to be driven. And so memorizing Scripture is not easy. It's very difficult. And I don't know who said it was easy. It wasn't me. I didn't say it. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. However commanded or commended won't keep us memorizing. We must see the need for ourselves. John 8:32, what does that phrase say?
Word makes us free.
Word makes us free. 31:32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Second Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust. Where are the great and precious promises found, class? In the Word, in the Bible, right. God's Holy Spirit will bring to mind His Word, John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall bring all these things to your memories. Psalm 119:105. Who can quote that for us? Yes?
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path.
Right, a light unto my path. You know, like the miners? The miners have caps up here. Or they had, like you put flashlights on your feet, a light unto your path. Who can quote Psalm 119:130?
The unfolding of thy word gives understanding, or gives the unfolding of thy word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple.
Right. It gives understanding to the simple. Aren't you glad for that one, Eric?
Yes, I am.
Simple. Uh-huh. Understanding to the simple. If you're simple, you can get understanding. Okay. Psalm 119:9-11. Glenn, you can quote that one, Glenn Coffey.
Shall a young man keep his way pure by living according to...
Right, go ahead.
By living according to your word and...
Thy word? Have I hid in my heart? Right. Psalm 119:155, listen. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they heed not thy testimonies. The reason salvation is far from the wicked, they heed not thy testimony. Joshua 1:7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the word which the Lord, way which the Lord my God, thy God, commanded thee. Turn not from it from the right to the left, for the Lord God, thy God, are with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Class this afternoon, we're going to go some skills. We're going to do some skills. We're going to do some play acting here in a moment. If you want to grow and learn, you just do exactly like we show you. Don't worry about some other way or being legalistic. You just do it. It'll work. Just do it, and it'll work. You know? Don't worry about some other way, because you don't know anyway. See? Just do it, and it'll work. Absolutely it'll work. Don't turn from the right end to the left. Just do it. There's only one and only way to do a lot of things. There really is. You might find another way to do it, but forget it, you know. Basically, you drive a car just basically one and only way, correctly. You know, it's some little variation, but forget it. Just go ahead and take a driver's course and you'll make it, you know. Same way with flying an airplane. Don't worry about all these fancy things. Just do it according to the manual. You know, I brought a wheelbarrow last week and I tried to put it together without the instructions, you know. And I did. I did. I put it together without instructions. The only thing is it wouldn't run because I had the wheel in the wrong place, you know. But I did. It was pretty, you know. And if you didn't try to drive it, you wouldn't have noticed it. But when you try to drive it, it wouldn't work because the wheel was locked. I had it on top instead of on the bottom, see. I had the wheelbarrow upside down when I put it together, see, so you could see why I get the wheel on. All I had to do is look at a little chart, you know. When all else fails, what?
Read the instructions.
Very good. This book of the law, Joshua 1:8, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When we going to have good success and prosper, according to Joshua 1:8? Right. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Proverbs 2:1, my son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So in order to memorize Scripture, in order to keep going, we must have a real desire. Jeremiah 29:13. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Mom, you got the... are these beginning with Christ?
Yes, they are, John.
They're the same kind?
Exactly.
Same kind, exactly. Okay, Eric, if you'll volunteer why don't we volunteer to do this? Eric, you volunteer to open that, and Glenn, you volunteer to open that, and hey, we'll open that. How about that? Oh, man, you flunked the course. You can't play with the Dodgers. Helen, could I have some more beginning with Christ, please? Okay. Phil, I want you to come around here. And everybody take a beginning with Christ, please. Beginning with Christ. Everybody has a beginning with Christ. Phil, you come across here. Everybody got a beginning with Christ? Okay. Let's just sit right there. Okay, everyone has a beginning with Christ. Give the remainder back to Eric, please. Okay, you got it? All right. Now, how many of you, if you've never seen this before, hold up your hand. You've never seen it before, all right? This is the way I start a person off in memorizing Scripture. So you just keep your beginning with Christ, kind of glance down at it once in a while. But I want you to use your thinking power now. Phil and I are going to do a little role play, and I'm going to give Phil the beginning with Christ. And we're going to cut some things short, and I'll tell you when we cut short. Now, the scenario is that Phil knows the Lord, and he has asked me for help. He's asked me. So obviously he wants to get started. So that is the background of helping Phil. Okay? Hi, Phil. I'm glad you could come over today, and sure appreciate you being here on time. I'm sorry I don't have all that much time today, Phil, but by the way, we'll get together again. You're not too long, you know. But why don't we just dive right in, and you see this little booklet material here, and here are your verses. But before we start on the verses, I want you to let's become familiar a little bit with this material right here. So why don't you start reading in page one, would you? Read page one, I'll read page two.
Okay. Jesus Christ said, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in and eat with him and he with me." Revelation 3:20. Coupled with this wonderful truth is a statement in the Gospel of John that to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, John 1:12. If you have, to the best of your knowledge, received Jesus Christ, God's Son, as your own Savior, according to the Scriptures quoted above, you have become a child of God in whom Jesus Christ dwells. Too many people make the mistake of measuring the certainty of their salvation by their feelings. Don't make this tragic mistake.
Believe God. Take him at his word. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. It is impossible in this short space to go into all the results of the transaction that took place when you received Christ, but you will learn some vitally important facts. A child may be born into a wealthy home and become the possessor of good parents, brothers and sisters, houses, land, but at the time of his birth it is not necessary that he be informed of all these things. There are more important matters to take care of first. He must be protected, for he has been born into a world of many enemies. In the hospital room, he is handled with sterilized gloves and kept from outsiders that he might not fall victim to countless germs. Waiting to attack, he must be given nourishment regularly and protected from exposure to extreme heat or cold.
You have become a child of God. You have been born into his family as a spiritual baby. You have the potential to live the rest of your life in victorious obedience to God. It is our desire to share with you a few simple truths which will strengthen you and keep you safe from the onslaught of Satan. In 1 Peter 2:2, you will read, "Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." And in Acts 20:32, you will read, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up. His word will now serve as your spiritual food and will build you up in the faith."
Okay, now then, for the sake of time, let's suppose that we have read all the way through this booklet, okay? Because I read every word with every fellow, and if we don't have enough time to read it and memorize, then we start back next week when we get them together. Well, Phil, let's take these first verses there. Have you seen these before?
These kind of verses?
Yeah, this little packet?
No.
All right. Well, let's look here at these verses. Let's see. What's number one? 1 John 5:11-12. You got that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, read that one. By the way, Phil, when we're memorizing, read the caption, and then the reference, and then the verse, and then the reference. You don't have to read that bottom part, of course.
Okay. Assurance of salvation, 1 John 5:11-12. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 5:11-12.
By the way, do you have a preference over the King James or the New English Version? Or the NIV?
NIV.
You like the NIV better. All right, let's take number two and read the NIV.
Assurance of answered prayer, John 16:24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. John 16:24.
Okay, read number three.
Assurance of victory, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out, so that you can stand up under it. 1 Corinthians 10:13.
Okay, four.
Assurance of forgiveness, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Reference?
1 John 1:9.
Okay, five.
Assurance of guidance, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5-6.
Okay. Now, do you happen to know any of these by heart at all, or have you ever know part of them? One of them? Which one would you know the most best?
John 16:24.
Okay. Let's work on that one then. I'll read that one again.
Assurance of answered prayer, John 16:24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Asking you will receive, and your joy will be complete. John 16:24.
Okay. Now read again, Phil, and concentrate on it, and by fixing your eyes on it like a time-lapse camera, just look at it, even though you may know it already, see? But just look at it like a time-lapse camera, as if you were going to take a picture and or something going to click, you know?
Okay.
So just look at it and read it. Read it over.
Assurance of answer, you want me to read through everything?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Assurance of answered prayer, John 16:24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. John 16:24.
Okay, now read it down and stop at name.
John 16:24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name.
Okay, now look up and say that.
John 16:24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name.
Okay, now look down and read the whole thing all the way through.
John 16:24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. John 16:24.
Okay, look up and say the second half. Ask.
Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete.
Right.
John 16:24.
Okay, look down, read it again. Assurance of answered prayer.
Assurance of answered prayer, John 16:24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. John 16:24.
Okay, look up and say.
Assurance of answered prayer, John 16:24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. John 16:24.
Good. Phil, now that's good. I tell you what. Now you work on these until we get together next week. And I'll meet you right here at McDonald's at 6:15 at the same time. And I'll be sure and have you on your pickup by 7:15 so you can get to your job in time. And then just go over this one each day. And then just choose another one to start on. If you get more than one, just go ahead and do the two, and we'll check out on these. And don't be discouraged if they seem to become slow. Just work on them every day. But the one that you know, you want to go over it each day. Go over it. So you go from the known to the unknown. You want to overlearn. Overlearn. You can quote John 3:16, can't you?
With a mixture of versions.
Okay, well, give me one version.
Okay. It may be a Mutt version. So, yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life.
John 3:16. Now, you probably hadn't reviewed that in several days, have you?
Several years. Okay.
Did you know, Phil, that you can learn hundreds of verses that'll be just as much on your heart? By the way, do you know your telephone number?
Yes, sir.
Give me your telephone number.
325-3167.
Did you have a phone number before this at all? Has it been changed lately in the last year, two or three?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember your other one?
Let's see. 325-4974.
Uh-huh. A little slower now. Now give me your address.
348 First Street.
Good. Now, are you married?
No, sir.
And give me your girlfriend's address. No. So, read, Phil.
Zero.
Yeah, zero. Pretty easy, are you? Now, Phil, the reason I played that trick on you, not the girlfriend bit, but the reason I played that trick on you, because, see, you gave me several things that you memorized, and you really don't have to review them. Think of all the things that you could memorize if you did review them, see? You can go your phone numbers, you can go your work phone, your boss phone. You know just so many things by memory because we go over them. Well, that's the same principle that we use in memorizing Scripture. And the reason we read thoroughly this right here is because I want you to get this material. Now, I'd like to give you an assignment for next week, okay?
Okay.
You go over this again, read this again, and come back at least with one more verse than John 16:24. Okay?
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Class, what'd you learn?
You helped me memorize the first verse.
I helped you memorize the first verse. That's a law. That's a law. More than that, I helped you memorize the first verse. What didn't I do? What didn't I do that we... I'm sorry? That's right. That's right. I'm sorry?
We just memorized one.
We just
memorized
one, right?
You didn't.
Yes. This is what I was fishing for. I didn't lay on him something. I showed him how to do it. I didn't lay it on him. See, giving him assignment. I showed him how to memorize it. See, we memorized it together. Okay, what else did you learn, class?
You didn't make it appear hard.
That's right. I gave him the brief talk that it was hard, and then I proved to him that it was easy. What else happened?
Showed him that he was already memorizing.
Showed him he was already memorizing. What else happened?
Explained the importance of review.
The importance of review? What else? When he went away, how was he? Right. He was successful. He didn't fail. He was successful. Therefore, next week when he goes away, how will he feel? Say it. The third week when he goes away, how will he feel? Say it. Say it. The fourth week when he goes away, how will he feel? Right. The sixth year when he goes away, how will he feel? Exactly right. I can go out there and find you fellows that I met with for 5 years that can quote you 800 passages of Scripture. Over 50 years old. That's right. They're right here today. Right there today. Businessmen. Supervised 25 men in the business world. You know, in the office, out of the office, people's problem, counseling, divorce, in debt, what have you. But this little simple tool, I started him off just like this. And by the way, he has a guy. He's under 40, lives in Guthrie, he's not here today, and he supervises business. And he could quote you between 700 and 800 passages of Scripture that I got started. It, 6 years ago, but I hadn't met, he'd been graduated now a year. It takes me 5 years to really make a disciple maker. Questions? Anything else you learned? Yes. Proverbs 13:19. Turn over there and look at that. Not that. It's in your Bible. That's not what. Not in your book. Proverbs 13:19. Read it out loud when you find it. Right. Read it out loud again. The first part is what we want. Read it again.
A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul.
So therefore, did he accomplish a desire? Therefore, he feels what? Sweet in his soul. That's right. Sweet in his soul because he accomplished a desire. Proverbs 13:19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Okay? Questions? One thing you might not have caught, but anything else you learned or questions you have?
Is this how you would start out with someone? Is this how you would start out with someone?
Yes, exactly.
How far along would they be in Scripture memory before you started talking about plot?
As soon as we can get to it, you know. But the scenario was, we have an hour at McDonald's. We've got to have our coffee and eat our sandwich. And he's got to get on his pickup because he's got to go to work. See, I only have an hour. And it's 6:15 to 7:15, and he's got to get to the job. So we'll get to it. But first I want to ensure that he's got these verses. Then we'll begin to get to it. Mm-hmm. Yes?
John, I noticed that you gave him an overview, reading it through several times, and then when he actually began to memorize it, you gave it to him in bite-sized pieces.
Yes.
Something that he could digest a little bit at a time and then accomplish saying it completely.
That's right. That's exactly the way I do it. Isaiah 28:9-10. Here a little and there a little. Little upon little. Little upon little. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. That's Isaiah 28:9-10. Yes.
Okay. You started off with what he knew. You know, you took how much he knew about it. Because he already knew one verse. That's where you start. You have to start with the first verse. And as far as this progression goes, like, it was five verses. But you took, you started with the second one because you knew that one a little bit or something like that. So you knew that. So you said you start off where you know, then we'll move to where you don't know.
That's right, Kerry. That's what they teach you, isn't it? In college, you start, or everywhere, you go from the known to the unknown. You got to have something to start with. Mm-hmm. And a verse is a verse, man. I don't know. I can change them numbers. I can put, you know, just grab them out and change them. Put 5, 1, 3, 4, you know, anywhere you want to. Yes?
When do you start reviewing?
review, like next week when he comes back, does he say the one we memorized this week plus a new one, or do you memorize a whole bunch and then kind of review?
We start reviewing next week. Next week, I'll do a scenario in a moment about a person who's been on the way for a while. And that's when we get in back review. But yes, I check him on every verse next week. And I check him on every verse he knows until he gets 30 or 40 verses every week. Or say 25, 30 verses. See, since I'm limiting myself to an hour in this particular scenario, obviously, you know, I want to cover just so much. A little later, we'll probably shift to an evening if he's really a gunner. I shift to an evening, then I'll give him an entire evening once a week, and then we'll shift and I'll give him, or maybe when we shift to an evening, I'll give him one evening every 2 weeks, and once a fortnight, and then we have a whole evening, say 3 hours together, and then we begin to get in back review. See, 1 hour, one 3 hour period, 2 weeks rather than 1 hour period, but we're on, still on a one once a week. Any other questions or comments?
You start everybody that way?
I start everybody that way. You noticed something else. Maybe you didn't. I take full responsibility and accountability. See? All I ask of Phil is to show up. If he shows up, I got it from there. And in these recent years, I have my attrition rate is virtually nil. You know what attrition means? You know what attrition means? Drop out. Attrition means drop out. Fall out. My attrition rate is virtually nil. And it's because of selection and I take responsibility. See? Now, obviously I'll meet a fella, say Phil maybe go further than Eric because of gifts and abilities. I've met with some fellows who just couldn't grasp all that fast. And you know, you just meet with them and, you know. In fact, with some fellows I've put into classes of two or three because I could handle all three of them because they just weren't the type of material that would meet man to man. See, 2 Timothy 2:2, and those that are able teach others also. Some people aren't able, or Paul wouldn't have put that in there. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Obviously, some people aren't able. But that, again, that's God's responsibility. I start everyone that way. One of my claims to fame is that there was a young pastor in San Diego. He asked me for some help on making disciples. This was in the latter part of the 50s. Very handsome young man. And he came out to the house. I had the navigators work there. And so I started him off in this beginning with Christ. And got him started off in disciple making and memorizing scripture. And he, incidentally, he's still at it. In fact, he's written a few books. You might have read some of them. Dr. Tim LaHaye. Start him right off like that. If you're going to look after a little baby, what are some of the basic things in looking after a little baby?
Protection.
Pardon? Protection.
Feed him.
Change the diaper.
Love.
Keep him the right temperature, not too cold, not too hot. Protect him, feed him, change the diaper, not too cold, not too hot. Protect him, feed him, change the diaper. Protect him, feed him, change the diaper. See? Now then, let's say we have this student at Harvard, real brilliant boy, and he's married a girl that's just absolutely brilliant as well. She's dropped out for a moment, but she has her master's and fully capable of doing her doctorate. But he's doing his doctorate at Harvard. And they have a little baby. Okay, let's say that these Mexicans just come across the Rio Grande and they're intelligent people and they're fine people, but they don't know a word of English. You know, but they're very, very poor. Now, what does the Harvard's baby need that the Wetback's baby don't need, and what does it, and vice versa? You got to be kidding. You don't mean to tell me that a PhD's baby needs the same thing as a Wetback's baby, and a Wetback's baby, you got to be kidding. Am I getting my point over? Then you do, you change diapers the same way. You warm the bottle the same stupid way. You put the caps on it the same way. It's been done that way for years and years and years. See? And there's no other way to do it. How do you like that? There's no other way to do it. Okay? Yes.
How do you...
All right, that brings up the next topic. Glenn, won't you volunteer? Mom, hand me my box over there, will you? Box. Thank you. This scenario is, Glenn and I have been meeting now for some time, and we have Bible study, and we're already through the basic books, and in fact, Glenn now has his own Bible study, and he's going to a good church, so it really isn't necessary now for Glenn and I to do Bible study together, because he's a graduate as far as know-how. He can do it on his own, and he's leading a Bible study, see? You know? And there's so many things in Glenn's life now that he's already has nailed down. So really, we're two disciple makers meeting together once a fortnight for checkup and for accountability, because that's the way you do it. Everybody needs checkup and accountability. Now let me pick out some that are easy. Hey, this won't be easy. Pick out some easy ones, see? What? You want to pick?
It's fine.
You don't pick, do you? Okay. Now, I've reviewed these either 5 or 6 weeks ago. Okay? So I'll start, Glenn, and I'll give you the reference and the verse, and after we get going along, I'll go as fast as I can in order to get done. Okay? Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 3:15. Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:14. You can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. Yet the priests and prophets give assurance of peace when all is war. I like that one, by the way. Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. You can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. You know, a lot of times we try to do that, don't we? Jeremiah 6:14. Jeremiah 6:16. Yet the Lord pleads with you still. Ask where the good road is, the godly paths you used to walk in the days of long ago. Travel there and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. Jeremiah 6:19. Hear, O earth, behold, I'll send evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened to my words, nor my law, but rejected them. Jeremiah 6:19. Jeremiah 7:3. Jeremiah 7:4. But don't be fooled by those who lie to you and say that since the temple of the Lord is here, God will never let Jerusalem be destroyed. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24.
Jeremiah 9:23. Oh, you got 24
in the list. Okay. Jeremiah 9:23. Let not. And Jeremiah 9:23.
Thus
saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. Jeremiah 10:23.
O Lord,
I know that the way of man is not in himself, It is not in man that walketh to direct his step. Let me get that one again. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his step. Jeremiah 10:23. Jeremiah 12:5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, how wilt thou do at the swelling of Jordan? That's a good one, isn't it? Boy, if you can't do it in good weather, you sure can't do it in bad. Huh? Jeremiah 12:5. Jeremiah 13:23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Jeremiah 13:23. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me a joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah 15:19. Behold, I'll make you a new, sharp. Jeremiah 15:19.
Therefore,
thus saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord. I get those always mixed up. Therefore, thus saith the Lord. Behold, I'll make you a new, sharp, threshing instrument.
That's right. Therefore, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah.
Okay, Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah 15:19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord to Jeremiah. If you return, give up this mistaken tone of distrust and despair, then I will give you again a settled place of quiet and safety, and you shall be my minister. And if you separate the precious from the vile, cleansing your own heart from unworthy suspicions concerning God's faithfulness, you shall be as my mouthpiece. But do not yield to them, let them return unto you, not you unto the people. Jeremiah 15:19. Okay? That's good. Thank you. Okay, questions?
I noticed that you're not memorizing out of one translation, you're memorizing out of several.
That's correct. And the key to that is memorize anywhere you want to, but put them on cards and be faithful to your cards. I try to go over all my verses once every five. I try to wait over 6 weeks. So I have divided my verses up into books like this. And so I go over about twice to three times this many a day in order to get over once every 5 or 6 weeks.
Did you pick those verses out of your quiet times?
I've collected those verses from conferences like this, quiet time, reading. Someone sent them to me in a letter. You probably will want a future page to list verses that you get, like out of a message. And keep a future page, and then before you copy them on cards, be sure that you get the one that you want. Because you may be really enthused with it right now, but you might not be enthused with it Sunday night when you go to type out your card for the week. Okay? Sir? I didn't have any topics on those. I have topics, but I don't review my topics on those. My topics are in my notebook. I have a notebook, see, and have topics on. Because these, I have so many verses that with more than one topic, see? This is on victory, on consistency. Therefore, thus saith the Lord to Jeremiah, if you return, give it some shaken tone of distrust and despair, then I give you again. It's on promise of ministry, you see? So it fit under so many things. But by reviewing as fast as I can, I have all this material at my disposal. So someone mentioned, was it you talking about, Shelley? What do you do on your review? Who was asked about the review just a moment ago?
I just
You asked about the review. All right. Now, on your daily review, see, I got Eric started. You want to review all you know until you get about 25, 30 verses, see? Say when you get up to 40 verses, you divide them in half. And you review 20 back review Monday, the other 20 Tuesday, the first 20 on Wednesday, every other day. See? All right. Now then, you have your two or three new verses. And you work on those every day. Okay, a year goes by. Now you've got 100 verses. You divide them up into four groups of 25, so you get through your verses every 4 days, your back review. But you still got your daily review, which consists of your current verses and your past 7 weeks' work. So you got three verses a week. 3 times 7 is 21. So you keep 21 in your pocket at all times. See? Each week, as you put in two new ones, you take out two old ones, or three new ones you take out, and you put in your back review. And your back review, we review in increments of, say, with this scenario, is 25. And in your daily review, you go over these every day. And your back review, you go over every 4 days. Then later on, your daily review, you go over every day. Your back review, you go over every 5 days. Now then, in my case, my daily review, I go over every day. My back review, I go over every 5 weeks. Lifetime memory work. Okay? Questions?
Are you still picking up new verses?
I don't memorize all that many new verses. I put quite a few of the verses that I'm slow on and back in my my new verse deal. That I've forgotten. See? Okay? All right. Now.
Another question.
Yes.
TMS, Mo. When you review yourself, do you use the references to prompt yourself? Yeah, I noticed.
TMS. Yes.
I noticed when you were reviewing your verses, you didn't have anyone prompt you with the references. You just knew exactly what text you had and what you had, and then you entered that one.
Yes. When I review myself, in my daily review, I use the references to prompt myself because I go from John to Matthew to Acts to Deuteronomy. And there's no particular reason to memorize verses in that order, John, Matthew, Acts, Deuteronomy. You know, because the next week it might be Ecclesiastes, Mark, Revelation, Peter, see? So I don't, in my daily review, I use my references to prompt myself. In my back review, I put into books, and then I go through those just by rote. Although, if I'd have gotten stuck, I would have asked Glenn to give me the reference first. A couple of them, I gave him the reference, but I couldn't start the verse, so he had to prompt me with the first couple of words. You see? Shows you how you got to review all the time because you forget a word. Did that answer you, Denny?
Yeah, when I do my back review, I always have my reference on one side of the card and the verse on the other, so I look at the reference and
I can
review the
okay.
Verse,
that's right.
I never tried to, if you asked me what verses I knew in Jeremiah, I couldn't quote them.
So. Are you, okay. In just a moment, I'll give you some help. Okay? Any other questions? Yes?
Do you make your memory work for your quiet time?
I start in my quiet time, yes.
Do you ever have quiet time just over verses?
Yes, many times I've had quiet time just over verses. Yes, many times. Like, particularly when I'm traveling, I'd have a quiet time, you know, just with a pack of verses, driving a car, or on an airplane when I'm traveling. Aboard ship, many times I've had a quiet time just with my verses when I'd have the duty, have the watch, you know. just with my verses. In fact, you can have a quiet time without your verses. See? Like Philippians. Philippians 1, 3, and 4. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken on throughout the whole world. Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he hath begun a good work in you, will perform it to the Jesus, Jesus Christ. Even it is necessary for me to think this you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bond and defense and confirmation of God for you all are partakers of my grace. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. See, with memorized scripture, you can just pray and have a quiet time anytime you want to. Helen goes over hers when she's jogging with a dog. A dog doesn't go over her. Okay?
Have you ever memorized a whole book?
I've memorized whole chapters. I don't anymore.
And did you put those on individual cards?
No, I never got that far along. I'm not able to retain whole chapters. That's the reason I don't review them. I mean, I don't memorize them. I don't retain them. And besides, I always got my Bible and just read it. This is what's called the topical memory course. I don't know what this costs. $10, $12, $8.
$5.40.
Like I say, $5.40. We better buy up a bunch of them. If you want to memorize scripture, buy this and read the directions. Okay? If you want to. Now then, there's a key to memorizing scripture. And that is, what? It's not review.
Be committed.
Pardon?
Is it be committed? Is that what you want?
Oh, nope. Accountability. You've got to have somebody go over your verses with you. You're not going to make it by yourself. You just won't. You just won't. Don't worry about it. You just won't. If you're not willing to get you out of scheme and a schedule and make an appointment with someone to check out, you're not going to make it. You're just frankly not going to make it. Okay? So you got to have it with you. Now then, I got some of you. How many are bogged, memorizing a while and bogged down? A few. Well, we just... are these those? Eric, you volunteer again. And I'll take what's left because I'm for the next class. Yes. Yes. On review, you don't need selection, just a warm body. On back review, just a warm body. I used to use fellows, non-Christian chaps aboard ship. In fact, when I was checking out on my first topical memory course back in World War II, I couldn't, there's no Christians aboard ship, so I asked one of my pagan mates to check me out on 36 verses. His name was Curtis. So, by the way, a person that doesn't know the Lord, they won't be strict on you. They just won't. Man, if you're close, good night. What do you expect? And so, I quoted him those 36 verses. The next day, I met one of my good friends aboard ship, and he said, Crawford, Curtis says that you can quote the whole Bible. So the word got out that Crawford could quote the whole Bible. You know? So for memory work, anybody. For disciple making, the key to making disciples, there's a science to it. You got to learn how to do it. For instance, 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to what?
Faithful.
Faithful. That's your key to disciple making. Faithful man. So I make an appointment with a fella, and I watch I give him an assignment, you know. Now, a while ago, this wasn't in the, this was follow-up that I did with Phil. This is not disciple-making. It's preliminary to disciple-making. But I presume that Phil was a babe in Christ, and so I'm going to follow him up regardless. If he don't call me, I'll call him. See? But not so with disciple-making. His time's up. Faithful men, I give him an assignment. If he doesn't do the assignment, I wish him well. Have him call me sometime for coffee. That's it. So, Christian, no way. And soon the word gets out. If you want Crawford to help you, shape up or ship out. And boy, I got more than I can say grace for. And it's that little simple thing. Love, but shape up. Hook it on or unhook it. Memory work in your back review. You follow this carefully. You bog downers. Arrange all verses in the cards you have books in the Bible. Then start your reclamation work with the book in which you know the most verses. For instance, let's assume it's the book of James. You may want to copy the new cards, all the verses, although you don't have to. You learn from James. Type or print them plainly so that others, even children, can help you. Separate the verses in James that you can quote from those you can't quote. Now there's a little skill for you. If you can quote them, you can quote them. If you can't quote them, you can't quote them. It's real deep, see? Review the verses that you know. See, there's another one that'll throw you. You think, well, I know those. I'll start on those you don't know. No. Start on those that you know. Now begin relearning the other verses you have written. From James, begin with chapter 1, then chapter 2, and so on. Go as fast as you can, some verses. See, work on the verses you know and review those every day. Work on particular hard verses night before. 7, 8, keep your standards high. 9, when you can actually quote to someone all the book in the book of James, return the book. Soon you'll notice you have a large number of verses. 11, set aside about 20 minutes a day. It's essential that from time to time you review your verses out loud. Key to efficient back review in verse 13 is knowing the verses word perfect. Don't change translations as you memorize verses. New verses ever can memorize any translation. Success in scripture memory that you give a high priority. Finally, remember that the overall purpose of memorizing scripture is to have it readily available in our hearts. For use in our own life, ministry, and success depends upon a strong desire to know the word of God. We better go because heavy things over my head if I keep it too long. If you have any questions, come around.